The reading today is from Psalms chapter 63, verses 1 through 5. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. In a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied as with the riches of foods, with singing lips my mouth will praise you. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Good morning. My name is Rebecca Harmon, and I am one of the lay leaders here at St. Mark's. Pastor Fran, as you know, is in St. Louis attending the United Methodist Annual Conference. So continue, please, to pray for those traveling mercies for all of those who are coming and going from that conference and for those who will be making decisions, right? May they hear God's will and respond in love, as Fran described last week. I had the pleasure of delivering a message to you back in August, and I'm happy to be here with you again. I told Fran that if she ever needed me, I have been thinking about and I have been mentally processing and chewing over this concept of thirst. And so you've heard a lot of references already this morning to what thirst is. And we hear references always in the Bible about what is it to be thirsty, and there's lots of references. There's just a few references there, just a few of them. John 7:37, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Revelation 7:16, they will hunger no longer, nor thirst anymore. Isaiah 55:1, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Psalms 63:1, which you just heard, God, I thirst for you. And in music, we hear this a lot. Thank you, Jane and John, again, for that beautiful song with that theme, again, about coming to the waters. But what does it mean to thirst for Christ? What does that mean? What does it mean to be satisfied by Jesus, who is the living water? In preparing this message, it wasn't hard for me to make connections to thirst in the physical world, right? There's an obvious physical thirst. We can all remember a time when we were thirsty for water, perhaps on a hot day or after exercise, or after an entire basket of chips and queso, right? Or right now, as I'm talking about drinking water, you're getting thirsty. As a human in this world, I have a thirst for gossip. Perhaps I'm not alone. Grocery store shelves are lined with the latest gossip to feed us. E! Network's entire platform is to discuss the gossip in the lives of the rich and the famous. Proverbs 26:22 says, "Rumors are dainty morsels that sink deep into one's heart." You know that feeling when you have a really good piece of gossip and you can't wait to share it with someone? That is a thirst. That's your physical thirst. That is a desire to gossip. By the way, that's also a sin. And as an addict to sugar, I closely identify with that descriptive phrase, dainty morsel. I know what it means to want a big, warm chocolate brownie with ice cream on top. And I can feel my entire brain seize with the anticipation of the sweet goodness, right? As the waiter brings that dish towards my table. Yeah, I have a problem. I'm aware of that. I'm aware. And in all seriousness, you and I know these physical thirsts. You and I know these physical desires. We know them so well. We can identify them and we can articulate them with precision. We gleefully share with one another our joy of the physical pleasures and bond with each other over these common experiences. And each of us desires different things. Brownies with ice cream might not be your thing, but we each find satisfaction in our own ways. Some of them are healthy, and others not so much. Maybe it's food or chocolate, or work, or being a mom, or being a dad, or being a friend, or maybe it's alcohol, or maybe it's making money, or maybe it's the size of your investment portfolio. Or maybe it's hoarding stuff, or maybe it's buying stuff. We all have something in our lives that gives us satisfaction, that when left unchecked, becomes an obsession, becomes an addiction. It becomes a distraction to hearing God's purpose. Someone much smarter than me described these desires and our inability to satisfy them as filling a God-sized hole in our hearts. No matter how many cookies I eat, I am not satisfied. No matter the size of my investment portfolio, I do not feel secure. No matter how many shoes I own, I always want more. Perhaps you identify with one of those thirsts. We each have our own thirst. And sometimes you don't even know what you're missing until you experience it. You know what I mean, right? You didn't know how good a steak from Ruth's Chris was until you had that first bite. My husband and I went recently and we said, certainly it can't be that good. And now all other steak is just garbage. You didn't know how good it was until that first bite. You didn't know how terrible flying business was until you sat in first class. You didn't know the ocean really could be that clear until you went to the Caribbean. You didn't know unconditional love until you have a child or until you hold your baby niece or nephew. And now you're ruined and you can never go back. That's what God's love is like. Once you feel it, you know it, and you can never go back. For me, I didn't even know I was thirsty until I had a sip. I learned how thirsty I had been during the fall of 2017. I opened my connection, just like you have in your hands right now, here at St. Mark's on a Sunday back in the fall, and I saw an announcement about the Walk to Emmaus. And I thought to myself, I like to walk. I like to walk around the neighborhood all the time. And I would love to go on a spiritual retreat where we walk. And those of you who are grinning right now know that the Walk to Emmaus is a figurative walk with Christ. The Walk to Emmaus is a 4-day, 3-night, most of the expenses are paid, spiritual event where we spend time worshiping God and learning about what it means to be a follower of Christ. And we spend time in fellowship with complete strangers, where we are simply joined by our faith. And finish the weekend as sisters or brothers, the walks are separate, with a solid foundation as we continue our faith journey. It's not a cult. It's not a secret society. It is not a church. It is an opportunity for anyone who is interested in exploring and growing their faith to carve out some time to mature as a Christian. And on that walk, I met a lovely, spunky redhead named Sue. And she had 2 tattoos on her wrists. And one of them said, thirst. And I thought about it for a really long time. Why in the world would she put thirst on her wrist? What does it mean to thirst for Christ? The next day, I built up the courage and found the right moment, and I asked her what the tattoo meant to her. Turns out it actually said trust. So we laughed about my confusion, and she told me why she put trust on her wrist, but I didn't stop thinking about what it meant to thirst for Christ. Before I went on that walk, I didn't even know that I was thirsty. My walk to Emmaus filled my God-sized hole in my heart to the point that I was overflowing. I was just cruising down the road of life, thinking God and I were good. Over that weekend, I saw how God knew my needs before I did. And he satisfied those needs. He satisfied needs I didn't even know existed. And he showed me how thirsty I was for his presence. And he showed me that he is a constant source of strength and encouragement. He showed me that I have been going to the wrong wells to satisfy my soul. And here's the kicker. My walk wasn't my first experience with Christ. It wasn't the first time I saw him or experienced him. I grew up in a Christian household. We went to church every Sunday. We sang in all the choirs. My sister and I went to Camp Lurecrest in the summer with other Christians. My parents encouraged my brother and my sister and I to go on mission trips, which we willingly did. What high school student doesn't want to go to Jamaica and build a cistern in July? And in those experiences, my heart was open to God. I went through confirmation. I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I experienced God's presence many times. In college, I was a Christian, but it wasn't part of my everyday life to worship or to pray. After college, I was married and knew that now you go to church. That's just what you do. But I was just going through the motions. Sophie Taylor, one of our St. Mark's High School students here, who was a part of leading worship 3 weeks ago, mentioned her experience, which many of us have gone through, I'm sure. She said she came to church, but was just going through the motions. She would sit in church and think of other things. That was me too. I wasn't connected, but I went periodically because that's what you're supposed to do. And as my first marriage was crumbling, I called out to God and he answered me. I felt a peace that knows no understanding, a sense of comfort that only God can provide. I cried out to God and he quenched my thirst. He satisfied my soul in a very dark time. And I would like to tell you that from that moment on, I went to God as my source of fulfillment always. No. But I am human. I am innately flawed. And this is part of my testimony that I'm sure many of you will identify with. We are filled with God, and then we go on our way. And we get distracted, and life takes hold, and we find ourselves thirsty for God again. And we come back, and he renews our spirit. What a wonderful God we serve, that we turn to him time and time again, and he is always there. After my divorce, I started going to a wonderful church that fed me spiritually, and I was an active participant. I even met my husband, David, who many of you know, at that church, and I was all so full. I was just so full going to that church. Until I wasn't full anymore. Until I got distracted by life. Until I forgot how much I needed God's constant presence in my life. I have been filled with God's mercy and grace and peace multiple times. And most day, I am still full of God's light. I am pouring out God's love all over the place. And some days I'm not. There are those days when I rely on my own strength, when I rely on my own understanding. That is the story of my life. It happened to me last week. I got disconnected from God again, thinking I could do it on my own. Again, not stopping to first ask God to go before me, not stopping to first ask God to clear my path. I just charged full steam ahead, clearing the path for myself. And sometimes we get off track. We get so used to fulfillment through work or family or fulfillment from money that we forget the experience we had when God filled us with his love. And we get in those valleys in life where we don't feel full anymore. You've been there. We're empty and we don't know why we're empty. And we get angry at our spouses for not fulfilling us. That's not their job. And we quit our jobs because it doesn't make us happy. And we drink more because at least when I'm drunk, I'm happy. And we go shopping for the high of buying something. And we indulge in candy when we feel anxious. And we get off track. And we get disconnected from God. And when we really go off the rails, right, we convince ourselves that God isn't there for us anymore. That God has abandoned us. We forget that the original source of peace and grace is God. We forget and we rely on our own understanding. We rely on sources of joy and fulfillment from the world and not from God. We are human. We're human. Forgive yourself. And this is part of the human experience. And being a Christian doesn't make life easier. It makes life hopeful. And I'm not here today to depress you or to make you feel down. I am here today to give you encouragement. This journey we are on is an everyday journey. You don't go on one mission trip and you're done. It isn't just one weekend on the walk to Emmaus. You don't just worship during Sunday service. Every day we are called to talk to God. Every day we are called to connect with God. You know what God wants more than anything? For you to talk to him. for you to give him your problems. And we use big words here in church, right? Surrender, trust, obey. God wants your heart to seek him and not all those other distractions. So how do we respond to God's call? How do we continue to live a life full with God's presence? Sophie mentioned that she chooses to respond to God's call by being active in the youth band, by singing to God, by being emotionally present during worship service, to connect. That was the message the youth shared with us. Connect to each other. Like Sophie, I really like to feel God talking to me through song. I jam out every morning in my car. I like to talk to Christian friends. I like to be in your presence. Just being here in this building lifts me because I see Christ on your faces and in your hugs. Many of you are in a small group where you see God active in the lives of others, where you pray for and with each other. Did you know that even during Bible times, Christians were encouraged to be a part of small group? This small group idea is not new. It goes back a few thousand years. And if you're looking for a small group, go on our website, look in the connection that you have in your hand, and find one. And if you can't find one you're looking for, create one. And don't forget, our best connection to God is his word. I chose this verse from two different translations because they are both so good. Psalm 19:10, they, meaning the word, are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. And then from the message, God's word is better than a diamond set between emeralds. You'll like it better than strawberries in spring, better than red ripe strawberries. God's word recorded in the Bible are a source of strength and divine direction to us. When we don't know if we should start or stop, go or stay, surrender, connect, love. When we read his word, we are reaffirmed in our faith, and it makes it easier to trust him. And finally, prayer. I have a very busy schedule, sometimes of my own making, and sometimes because of other things that have been asked of me. But I like to carve out time to go out to eat with friends. I went out last night and ate with a girlfriend. And you know when you haven't seen someone in a while and you feel disconnected from them, and then you have dinner together and you laugh and you talk and you share your lives, and at the end of your time together, you feel full, right? And you feel satisfied from making that connection with your old friend. And that is what prayer is. It is a conversation with God where you reconnect. And the best part is you don't have to do anything special. You don't have to look at your overscheduled calendar and pencil him in next Thursday. His schedule is always open for you. You can talk to God anytime, in the shower, as you drive, as you sit in a very boring meeting at work. The best thing to do is to spend time with God every morning so that you can really talk to him and you can listen back. But if that isn't a part of your daily schedule yet, don't beat yourself up about it. It isn't a part of mine yet. God is right next to you. He is right next to me. Jesus sits in the front seat of my car every morning. He holds my purse. And we talk, and I thank him for being present. And I ask him to clear my path. Clear my path. Go before me and help me be his light in this dark world. I invite you to be in touch with the longings that you feel. How are you satisfying those desires? I invite you to reflect on how you are filling the God-sized hole in your heart. Is it work? Is it social media? Buying new things? Eating? Exercise? Family and friends? None of those things are evil. None of those things are bad. Until you start to fill God's place with them. I invite you to respond to God's call. Can you hear him? Or are the distractions in life drowning out his voice? You are not alone on this journey. Every person in this room, every person in this world struggles to answer God's call. But you have come to a place where we can encourage and share and inspire each other as we strive to grow, live, and love as followers of Christ. Would you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come to you with grateful hearts. You know our needs before we do. You are ready to bless us more than we can ever imagine. But first we have to ask. First we have to humble ourselves before you and trust that you are the God who can do all things. Thank you, God, for continuing to love us, even when we try to satisfy ourselves outside of your will and direction. Thank you for the gift of your Son, who covers all of our sins. It is in his holy and perfect name that we pray. Amen.